This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it, the lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
The clock will run out now as the Warriors bring it to the half court. 126-102 will be your final. The Golden State Warriors with another impressive victory.
Yeah, another nice win for the Warriors. That's now three in a row. It is 5 of 6 in the Jimmy Butler era, and the Golden State Warriors are now 30-27. 126-102, the final score. Warriors over the Dallas Mavericks. Plus, it was Andre Iguodala's jersey retirement. That just happened, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game. The number 9 forever in the rafters inside of Chase Center. The first such event in Chase Center history. All the other Warriors jerseys that had been retired happened while the Warriors were elsewhere, before they were here inside of Chase Center. So this was a special moment, and it was also the first of many. As you heard Andre Iguodala say at the very tail end of his long list of thank yous, he said, now this is just the beginning of like the thank you Steph tour. Because, of course, we know that the number 30 is going to go up in the rafters when it's all said and done. But as Steph Curry also said, when he went up and took the microphone to thank Andre, none of this happens without him. And without Iguodala around, Steph feels pretty darn old. But Steph, based on the way he played tonight, still has a lot of really good basketball left in him. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. What a special day inside of Chase Center and around Chase Center here in Thrive City. I'm currently stationed inside of Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center. This place is hopping, I'm sure, as Warrior fans are leaving Chase now after the jersey retirement of Andre Iguodala. There will be even more flowing in, one of the best spots in San Francisco to watch a game, to grab something to eat, something to drink. And I'm here for at least the next hour plus, hour and a half maybe or so, so you can stop by and say what's up here on 95.7 The Game. But let's react to what happened in this basketball game, because it was a really nice Warrior win. And I can't say honestly I am that surprised. The Warriors were favored by 9 and they won this game by 24. I mean, they played great, but this just kind of felt like the way that this team can play basketball. And maybe I am overreacting to this stretch. Again, with Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are now 5-1, including this dominant win. The dominant win on Friday in Sacramento. They beat Houston on the back end of a back-to-back before the All-Star break when I'm sure they were dead tired. It's a really good Houston team. They won that game. They had a rough loss to the same Dallas team in Dallas, but then also wins in Milwaukee, although without Giannis, and win in Chicago. This is a Warrior team that is stacking up good performance after good performance, and the last two have been particularly great performances. Tonight it was, or today, this afternoon, it was a slow start. 9-4 was the beginning for Dallas, and it honestly was pretty rough. They looked confused defensively, wasn't sure who was guarding who, how to defend back cuts. There was some sloppy passing. It seemed like the Warriors weren't on the same page offensively either. And then things flipped. From 9-4, the Warriors outscored the Mavericks 29-9 the rest of the first quarter to build a 15-point lead going into the second quarter. And I'm not even kidding you. I don't think I'm overreacting. I mean, I'm in Chase Center for nearly every single Warriors game. I cannot remember a time that recently, obviously there's been playoff runs and there's been NBA Finals games here. I cannot remember a time in recent memory that Chase Center was as loud as it was for a first quarter as today was. Today felt special, and of course today was special. Andre Iguodala's jersey retirement, Jimmy Butler's debut, Klay Thompson's back in town. This is a team in Dallas that's right ahead of you in the Western Conference standings. This game had extra juice, and the fans felt it too. And it's something that Steve Kerr talked about post-game, and we're going to hear from Steve Kerr coming up a little bit later on here on Warriors Wrap-Up. But I just want to read you a quote. I'm sure we'll hear it from Steve Kerr later, but I wanted to just get this out right away. This is Steve Kerr post-game today. Quote, "You can tell our fans see the difference. They feel the momentum just like we do. It was an important shift, the trade itself. I think we just needed it. We were kind of treading water. We couldn't get any traction, and Mike Dunleavy sensed it and made the move." Focus there on just the beginning part. "You can tell our fans feel the difference. They feel the momentum just like we do." And there is absolutely no doubt. Again, the Warriors in the middle of a 29-9 run to close the first quarter. There was a moment where Jimmy Butler got an and one to go. He kind of was dribbling from the right wing towards the free throw line, got bumped off balance, threw up a shot while he was fading from the free throw line, got it to go, plus the foul, headed to the free throw line for an and one opportunity. And I kid you not, this was not just a Jimmy Butler appreciation moment. This was a Warriors fans stating that they believe that the Warriors are back moment. And it was legitimately a standing ovation from the crowd at Chase Center, because the Warriors were in the middle of a 29-9 run against a team they just lost to last week. 29-9 run. In the first quarter, all of Chase Center was on their feet. A round of applause out of the chairs, onto their feet, round of applause. And then you had the moment where Jimmy Butler at the free throw line, and there was a loud, loud cheer for that as well. I'm not sure I have heard Chase Center as loud as that. There was another moment later on when Quentin Post on consecutive possessions hit a corner three, and then off of kind of a weird play where Moody tried a fast break opportunity, couldn't quite get a shot up, lost the ball, and it ultimately found itself to the trailer. Quentin Post, who then had a dunk, Chase again was rocking. It just has felt different. Today felt entirely different inside of Chase Center, as it has all year. I think as it had all of last year and maybe even 2 years ago. Like, the last time I can remember Chase Center being as amped and as loud and as grateful and as energetic and as excited as it was today, you might have to go back to the postseason in 2023, Warriors and Kings, when the Warriors won games 3 and 4 at home, right? Like, that might be the last time. And you can let me know if you got season tickets, you're at a lot of games, what you think. 888-957-9570. That's the text line. It's also the number to call. I also have our YouTube chat open, as always, youtube.com/957thegame. Lots of love for Andre Iguodala on YouTube right now. Shout out to D. Lou, to Lincoln, to My Fams, to Empire, to Joseph, to a few others, Moco, Drew, and Ant. Appreciate all you guys tuning in, and for everyone on the text line as well, the 707 chiming in. the 408, the 818. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. But let me know if you feel differently. 888-957-9570. This just feels different. And it doesn't feel like something that's just a flash in the pan. This feels like something that's repeatable for the Warriors right now. And I guess before we go even further, we should note that this is a Dallas team that was dealing with, that is dealing with, a lot of injuries. No Anthony Davis, no Daniel Gafford, no Derek Lively, no Caleb Martin, and no Dwight Powell. All right? They got a lot. They got a lot of missing pieces. But this was a dominant win, and the Mavericks did not deserve to be on the floor with the Warriors in this one. And the Warriors learned from what happened last week in Dallas. It was Kyrie Irving who dominated the Warriors in Dallas last Wednesday. Kyrie scored 42 in that game. The Warriors made him an extreme volume scorer. He only scored 17 points on 18 shot attempts, 7 for 18 from the field, 1 for 6 from downtown. By the way, his primary defender was Brandon Pajemski. Pajemski was awesome in this basketball game. Again, he had 17 points, 13 rebounds, a career-high rebounds for Pajemski. 7 for 15 from the field, made 3 of his 5 from downtown. And oh, guess what? All reliable for Brandon Pajemski. The plus-minus category, plus 30. Team best, plus 30, Brandon Pajemski. Jimmy Butler right behind him, plus 28. Those two are making quite the duo on the floor right now. I thought Pajemski was absolutely awesome in this basketball game. 888-957-9570. How repeatable does this feel? How real does this feel? I talked about it on our Extended Warriors Live earlier today. I have a hard time being so incredibly optimistic because what of this season has been, it's been a step forward and two steps back almost over and over and over again. But the addition of Jimmy Butler gives it an entirely different feel. And wins like tonight, wins like Friday in Sacramento, it only adds fuel to that fire. This feels like a Warriors team that plays a lot safer brand of basketball now. And today, I think, really was the first time, I guess you could even say the Chicago second half after they really stunk it up in the first half, and then they absolutely controlled everything going on in the second half. That felt more like just great three-point shooting, although there was a lot of other things going on in that game. And you could say a similar thing potentially for what happened in Sacramento on Friday. Tonight, though, felt like a dominant win that wasn't like random because you just suddenly made 60% of your threes one night. Like, the Warriors only shot 30% from deep. They were 12 for 40 from downtown. 12 for 40 from downtown. That is honestly bad. Like, really bad. That's not good. And the Warriors put up 126 points and won this basketball game by 24. Like, this was a performance that was led by what they did defensively. And also for the Warriors, the strength in their numbers. All five starters in double figures, 30 points for Stephen Curry, who, oh, by the way, didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. That is such a welcome sight for this Warrior team. Stephen Curry is just a few weeks away from turning 37 years old. Every time you can keep him off the floor for an entire fourth quarter, that means a lot for you in the future. 18 points from Jimmy Butler on only 9 field goal attempts. Talk about efficiency. He was 8 for 8 from the free throw line. I mentioned the 17 from Pajemski to go with 13, a career high rebounds. 14 from Moses Moody, who's solid as ever. Moody 5 for 10 from the field, those 14 points. And then off the bench, you got contributions from a lot, including Quentin Post, who scored 10 points. Had some garbage time misses, but was largely efficient when the game was really still going on. You got 7 from Kevon Looney, 5 from Gui Santos. Buddy Hield made a 3. The Warriors' roster feels so much more smooth and connected now, and it's so much because of what Jimmy Butler does. I saw this amazing statistic, and let me go fish it out here for you. I think this perfectly encapsulates the Jimmy Butler impact. Since the Warriors acquired Jimmy Butler, so we're talking about a 6-game sample now. The Warriors are 5-1 in those 6. And oh, by the way, I'm not going to say they should be, but they were a couple of plays away from being 6-0 in this 6-game stretch. They're playing really good basketball right now. But in that six-game stretch, the Warriors now rank first in total made free throws, 116, and second in free throw percentage during that stretch. This comes on the tail end after the Warriors in the first like 50 so odd games of their season not only didn't get to the free throw line, one of the in terms of just free throw attempts, one of the lowest in the NBA, but they also made their free throws at one of the worst clips in the NBA. And that script has been completely flipped and reversed. The Warriors have made more free throws than anybody else over the last six games and are shooting at the second best clip in the league from the free throw line during that stretch as well. That is what Jimmy Butler does. Jimmy got to the line eight more times today, made all of those, and the pressure that he puts on a defense, it allows others to get to the free throw line as well. There's no surprise there has been an uptick in Stephen Curry free throw attempts ever since Jimmy Butler got here. Warriors are consistently winning the free throw battle. They got up 23 free throws today. The Mavericks got up 19. What else are they winning? They're also winning the turnover battle nearly every single night now. The Dallas Mavericks committed 18 turnovers today. The Warriors committed 10. So that's an advantage of 8 in the turnover battle. And I can add that on to what it already has been for the Warriors. Let me scroll back and find this. In the six games with Jimmy Butler now, the Warriors are plus 40 in turnover differential. They have forced their opponents to commit 40 more turnovers than they themselves have committed. Over the course of six games, that is an insane number. And what about the points off turnovers? How does that, what's that update after today's game? Dallas committed 18 turnovers. The Warriors turned those 18 turnovers into 30 points. 18 turnovers into 30 points. As I do that quick math here for you, that is about 1 2/3 points per possession off of turnovers. That is incredible efficiency. Meanwhile, the Warriors, they commit 10 turnovers. The Mavericks turn those 10 turnovers into 10 points the other way. Bad efficiency for Dallas. Not only is it low turnovers for the Warriors, but their opponents are not turning those few turnovers into points at a high clip. So the Warriors plus 8 in the turnover number today, plus 20 in the points off turnovers. So if we update this again in the Jimmy Butler era, which is now six games, the Warriors are plus 40 in turnovers, and they're plus 111 in points off of turnovers over six games. That has like very rarely happened for the Warriors over a six-game stretch over the last couple of years. In fact, I don't have the way to confirm this right now. It would take some digging. I could go do it eventually. Don't have time while I'm on the air with you at this second. I would be willing to bet over the last 2.5 years, right, post championship in 2022, and hell, it might even include 2022, but certainly in the last 2.5 years, right, the 2022, the 23 season, the 23 and 24 season, and so far here this season, I would be willing to bet a big amount of money that the Warriors have never had a six-game stretch where they outscored their opponents by 111 points in the points off turnover category. That is the Jimmy Butler impact. He forces the opponents to commit more turnovers. He helps the Warriors commit fewer turnovers. He helps those turnovers turn into points for the Warriors. And even when the Warriors rarely do turn the ball over, he helps turn those turnovers not into easy buckets for the opponents the other way. Jimmy Butler is making this team feel entirely different right now, and it's hard to deny it. Like, you could be, well, okay, you beat, in the Jimmy Butler era, you've beaten Chicago. Not good team, especially after they made their moves at the trade deadline. You beat Milwaukee without Giannis, and without Giannis are nothing special. They're a decent team, but nothing special without Giannis. You lost to Dallas when Dallas didn't have any big men. Okay, that's a knock against you. You beat Houston. Quality win, no doubt. Quality win, and very, very good win. I mean, on the road against one of the top four teams of the Western Conference, quality win. Not arguing that. You beat Sacramento, who, after their trade deadline, feels like a team that is lost without anywhere to go, and they're falling quickly in the Western Conference standings, and then you win today against Dallas, again without any big men. So you could have the argument, well, they haven't proven it against a real big boy, at least not at any consistent level, and I hear you. But based on how I'm seeing this Warrior team play right now, it feels like this is something that they can trot out there no matter the opponent, and they have a pretty good shot of at the very least staying competitive. And frankly, where the Warriors have been before Jimmy Butler, they've also been a team, even without Jimmy Butler, that can beat anybody. They've beaten the Celtics. They've beaten Oklahoma City twice. They've beaten Houston three times. They've beaten Memphis. Like, they have as many wins against, like, top six or seven records in the league as almost any team in the NBA. The difference is they lose the games. They have made a habit of losing the games that they shouldn't at times. Jimmy Butler gives them simultaneously a much higher floor, but also an extremely higher ceiling. He allows the Warriors to play in a number of different styles. They can beat a number of different teams by playing different ways, and they match up a whole lot better against nearly everybody else in the Western Conference right now. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also our text line. I got my eyes on the text line right now. 888-957-9570. The 510 is chiming in. Since the arrival of Jimmy Butler, the defense has greatly improved, which is mostly about significantly increased intensity and effort. Plus, the spacing on offense is much better. Next step is to beat teams like the Lakers and Nuggets, who have lots of length and very, very smart players. I hear you, 510. The Lakers aren't, I guess they got length like with LeBron at the 3 or 4, and he could play some small ball 5, although not as much lately. They don't really have a true center anymore after the Mark Williams trade got rescinded just after the trade deadline. But they do have like some length at the 3 and 4 spots that the Warriors will have to contend with. A team like Denver would be interesting, because how do the Warriors go at Nikola Jokic? They're going to ask Draymond Green to do that, but how long can Draymond Green do that? I think an interesting game is going to be Thursday in Orlando against the Magic, who are an offensively challenged team, but a team that has maybe as much size and length as anybody in the NBA. What do the Warriors do there? Do they continue to go small, or do you see maybe a start for Kevon Looney in that game? I would imagine we'll see the Warriors stay small even against a big team like that, because a big team like that, you might be able to just run them off the court if the Warriors go small. That's a conversation we can have a little bit later on as we continue throughout the week here on 95.7 The Game. Man, a nice win for the Warriors. Much better than nice. A really, really good win for the Warriors. 126-102 was the final. This game honestly didn't feel that close. Like, it felt like the Warriors could have easily been up by 30 at times in this basketball game, and they pushed it to as many as 29, I believe, at one point. Yeah, the Warriors' largest lead was 29. Steph did not have to play in the entire fourth quarter. The lead never wavered, really, in that fourth quarter. After the slow start, 9-4 the Dallas beginning, the Warriors dominated the rest of the way. I mean, they closed that's first quarter on a 29-9 run. That was the loudest I've heard Chase Center in a first quarter, maybe since the 2023 playoffs in the first round or second round, either against the Kings or the Lakers. It has been that long for the Warriors, and where the Warriors crowd felt like there's legitimate belief that this is a team capable of doing something pretty darn special. It's been a while. I mean, there were the famous Warriors chants. I mean, we haven't heard that too often inside of Chase Center this year. That also happened in the first quarter. It happened throughout the second half as well. And when the Warriors go on these runs and they throw these punches at teams, and Dallas is a team that's not really well-equipped to try to counter and to punch back, but some of the runs the Warriors went on, It kind of felt like the avalanches that they set on opponents like during the championship years, whether it was in the Kevin Durant era or even in 2022, when sometimes it was Jordan Poole piling on and him adding to the avalanche. This felt like that kind of Warriors run. And there's a newfound confidence, there's a newfound belief, and there's just an overall calmness on the Warriors right now. And I think it stems from their confidence at this stage. Tonight was today was really, really encouraging for the Warriors. Again, the final score, 126-102. We got so much more to get into. Andre Iguodala's jersey was retired today. A really special ceremony on the floor after the game. Jimmy Butler made his Warrior debut. And I don't know about you guys. I need you to let me know. 888-957-9570. Give me a call and shoot me a text. Or let me know on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. Warrior fans, are you beginning to believe? Because I'm having a hard time not believing it right now. I know it's only been six games. I know there's no like legitimate alpha team that you have beat yet in this stretch. But I'm having a hard time not believing that this is a team that at the very least can get to the sixth seed and might be a team's nightmare matchup in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And who knows? I mean, they might make a run at this thing. How are you feeling? What's your confidence level? How excited are you? I'm just amped to have Warriors basketball be exciting again. You can let me know. 888-957-9570. Time for a break. I'll check on your texts, your messages on YouTube, and your calls when we come back. It's Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you as we get ready. In fact, we're going to keep it here for just a little bit longer, actually. Let me know when you're ready, Cam. But I'll run through some of these messages now here. D. Lou on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. D. Lou says, I believe it looks different. We're playing with confidence. Yeah, D. Lou, it does. It looks a whole lot different. This is a team, honestly, it's night and day. Like, it feels like an entirely different team, and it's kind of crazy that one acquisition can make this big of a difference, but it feels like two separate basketball teams. And when I try to separate them in my head, like, there's going to be so much talk about, well, they're 30-27. Like, the giant pile of evidence suggests they're average, right? And I would imagine that's going to be a lot of the talk around the country. But we can look at this as two separate teams, pre-Jimmy and post-Jimmy. And post-Jimmy, they're 5-1. We'll see how this thing goes. All right, Eric, I see you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll take a quick break. More Warriors wrap-up live from Splash at Thrive City. This is a great spot. Come by, get something to drink, get something to eat, watch some sports on all the televisions here at Splash. It's a great spot to be, and I'll be back live from Splash on 95.7 The Game with more Warriors wrap-up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Deflected away by Iguodala. Grabbed by Draymond to Curry. Curry's pass batted down. Right to Andre. Up and under. Scoops and goes in. As he was falling down, he got fouled.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game for Warriors wrap-up live from Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center on the west side of Chase. If you haven't been yet, well, it is brand new. Don't necessarily blame you yet, although this is a great spot. So if you don't stop by at some point soon, you're only doing yourself a disservice. I've got like three gigantic TVs in front of me, four other smaller ones. They're all showing different sporting events. I've got Memphis and Cleveland in front of me right now. I got Giannis and the Bucks in action, the Hawks and the Pistons. We got a lot of fun happening here at Splash at Thrive City. Good food, good drinks as well. Stop by if you're in the area and that you're looking for a place to take in some sports action on this Sunday afternoon. 888-957-9570. Today was a big day inside of Chase because it was Andre Iguodala's jersey retirement. It was Jimmy Butler's debut at home as a Warrior. And it was a big game in the Western Conference standings. Really quick about Andre, we just heard that highlight from one of his finer moments as a Warrior coming in to this segment. Bob Meyer spoke, Steve Kerr spoke, Steph Curry spoke, in addition to Andre Iguodala. They all killed it, as you would expect. There was also a long video tribute that featured many, many dignitaries from Andre Iguodala's career. Of note, Jordan Poole wished Andre Iguodala a happy jersey retirement. Harrison Barnes as well. CP3, Kevin Durant, James Harden, his wife Christina, his daughter Evan. It was a real, real nice ceremony put on by the Warriors. And Andre Iguodala's number 9 will forever hang in the rafters here at Chase Center. A lot of fun. All right, Warriors, though, as we get back to the business of this actual game, they dominate the Mavericks today, 126-102. The Dubs now, as we take a look at the Western Conference standings as they currently sit, the Warriors are 30-27. They are in ninth place in the West, a half game behind Dallas for eighth. Minnesota is only a game ahead of the Warriors, and the Clippers are only a game and a half ahead of the Warriors. I think that game in Indiana has gone final. Let me confirm that for you. The Clippers were in Indiana today. I saw they were down by 20 early, and they lose that game by 18. The Clippers have officially lost, which means the Warriors are only 1.5 games out of the sixth seed. Isn't it incredible what a solid six-game stretch of playing basketball will do for you? The Warriors, it almost felt like, were teetering on the edge of kind of having to give up hope on the sixth seed entirely, and now they're only a game and a half out. Half game behind Dallas, a full game behind Minnesota. Minnesota is in action at home today against Oklahoma City, by the way. Real tough matchup. If OKC, the favorite, wins that game, the Warriors would only be a half game behind both Minnesota and Dallas, and 1.5 behind the Clippers for the sixth seed in the Western Conference. This is not a pipe dream, folks. This is very, very realistic. The Warriors' chances to creep up to the sixth seed in the Western Conference. Okay, let's go out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Where's your belief? What's your confidence level? How excited are you in this Warrior team? This 5-1 stretch, does it mean you think that they're capable of getting to the playoffs, of winning a series, going to the Western Finals? Are your sights set higher? What do you believe about this Warrior team right now? You can let me know. And Eric is up first. Eric in Millbrae, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game with Mark Grandy. Eric, how you doing?
What's up, man? Yeah, great debut there, Chase, for Butler. I really like the way he's fit in so far. I thought it would take some time, but his ability to attack the rim, I love the way he's opening up space there, especially for Curry to really operate and get better shots and looks for Pods and guys like Draymond to really operate. So I just love the whole transition. The offense was really struggling for him, and now so far he's opened up, and I just hope that once Kuminga's back, it makes him even more lethal with another elite option in Kuminga. So far, if you're a Warrior fan, you couldn't ask for a better stretch. Now, they got a stretch of games here where they could really start rolling. And if you're the Warriors, your goal is to stay out of the play-in. You want to get that sixth seed because I think the Clippers are going to drop off. I'm not really too worried about Dallas with their depleted injuries. And I think the Warriors, everything's set up perfectly for them. And obviously, in the first round, you want Memphis. That's ideal. Denver is going to be a much tougher matchup. So if you're the Warriors, I think they're going to start rolling here, and you want to finish in the sixth seed, and hopefully Memphis ends up in that three matchup so you get them in the first round. So just do what they're doing right now, and they got a stretch of games here where they start rolling. So all in all, you can't really complain for the Warrior fans. Minus that slip up against Dallas, they seem to really get going now, and I love the way Butler really fitting in. I just hope everything's smooth sailing going forward, and no issues pop up. You know, some clash with him or Draymond, anything like that. But Curry's really turned it on. So when he's getting going, it really pumps up not only the crowd, really rejuvenates the whole rest of the teammates. So tip of the cap to them, and let's keep it going now with this stretch of games here in the final stretch of the regular season.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Eric. I think you speak for a lot of Warrior fans. I'm glad you brought up Steph because I mean, he had a flurry in the third quarter, and really before he scored 8 points in the span of 65 seconds in that third quarter, had a three, I think it was from the right wing, and then hit another three from the left wing, and this was with like 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. In fact, I have it here for you. He hit a three, then another three. He hit the night with 2:45 left in the third quarter, the Warriors up by 24. And then after that, he had a fancy dribble move to get to the hoop and finished. 8 points all in a span of 65 seconds. The night was really funny. I'll get back to that in a second. But honestly, and maybe I'm entirely tripping here, and you can let me know, it was a 30 points for Steph, but in the first half, I mean, he had 14 in the first half. That's a great number. You average 14 points a half, you're going to go to the Hall of Fame. It was a relatively quiet 14 in the first half for Steph. And I don't mean that as a knock on Steph. I mean that as an overall compliment to the Warriors as a team, because I think in the past, when Steph scores, it has almost felt like, well, first of all, it was mandatory. If Steph didn't score, you were not going to win. But it was so much more difficult. So every time he would score, it would feel more, I don't know, amazing or incredible or jaw-dropping, because he's being hounded by two or three guys, and just him getting a shot off seemed like a miracle, let alone him making the shot. So in the past, I think if Steph would score 14 points in the half, you would kind of, not that you're not impressed by it, but it would kind of take your breath away a little bit more, right? Because of the way in which those points came. The way in which his points came in the first half, it's not like it was amazing or anything crazy. Let me read you his first half numbers here. Steph Curry in the first half, 14 points, 6 of 11, and 1 of 4 from downtown. And I guess really what I'm talking about is, like, he didn't have the Curry flurry from deep in the first half. It was a lot of points elsewhere from, you know, drives and getting to the rim. And great, like, any points you can get, of course you'll take him. But it was relatively quiet in terms of the way Steph normally gets his points, which is great because the Warriors still had a gigantic lead at half, up by 17 at half, even with that quote-unquote quiet first half from Steph. But then the third quarter happened, and you get a reminder of the extra level the Warriors reach when Steph goes on those kinds of runs. And he was absolutely unbelievable in the third quarter. In the third quarter alone, Stephen Curry scored 16 points. He was 6 of 9 from the field and 2 of 4 from downtown. And those two threes, again, came on consecutive possessions. And after the second three, late in that third quarter, he hit it over P.J. Washington. He gave him maybe the quickest night-night in the history of night-nights. And it was crazy because it happened in the third quarter. Warriors up by 24 as Curry hits his second consecutive three, and Steph goes to the night-night on P.J. Washington. He was staring directly at him. He said something at him. I don't know what it was. I don't think it's safe for radio. I don't think I can repeat what Steph said. Maybe he was asked about it post-game. But he said something, and he was clearly upset at P.J. Washington, because if you follow the lore, you know that P.J. Washington has used the night-night celebration against Steph and the Warriors a couple of times this year. Go back to December, the second time Klay returned to Chase Center. That was the crazy, like, 143-133 Dallas win where the Warriors tied a franchise record for made threes, and they still lost that game by double figures because Klay went off for Dallas, and a number of others did. As that game was in the waning seconds, P.J. Washington on the bench hit the night-night. And then last week in Dallas, P.J. Washington did not play, but Kyrie Irving's 42 points led Dallas to a win. As P.J. Washington and the Mavericks were walking back down the tunnel towards the locker room, he, in front of cameras, not in front of Steph, but in front of cameras, hit the night-night again. So Steph Curry, as he calls himself, you know, quote-unquote, the petty king, he said in the past, quote, "I see everything." I'm sure Steph saw that, and I can guarantee you it was not a coincidence that the one time Steph hit a step-back three to push the lead to 24 late in the third quarter, it was not a surprise that that happened to be over P.J. Washington, and that's the moment that he decided to hit the night-night. Just classic Steph, seeing everything and having an answer when somebody tries to get one over on him. That was a great moment in this game. He hit it so quick. Honestly, I wasn't sure if it was the night-night at first. Me watching from press row inside of Chase Center, it was kind of hard to see. But on replay review, it was indeed the night-night, and he had some pretty strong words directed towards P.J. Washington as well. 888-957-9570. Mark Randy with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. You can join the conversation by giving me a call, shooting me a text, 888-957-9570. I'll get that out of the way for you, Cam. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal NorCal financing at the dealer. Warriors control this one, 126-102. Honestly, I feel like one of the underrated aspects of what Jimmy Butler does for this Warrior team is he makes it easier on everybody else. We spend so much time talking about how Steph does that, and Steph still does that, but it never hurts to have two guys that do that. And I think we can see it specifically in what some of the other players are doing, namely Moses Moody and Brandon Pajemski. I think you can also throw Draymond Green in there. Draymond Green, the last couple of games, has been looking to score more and has actually been finishing a little bit better. I think at least a part of it is because of the attention that is being paid to Jimmy Butler. He's helping everybody else, Draymond included, get better looks. But I want to focus this conversation on Brandon Pajemski, because I think the conversation around Pajemski has honestly been pretty toxic this year, and he's been really good since he returned from his abdominal injury. Now, that does not change the fact that the beginning of this season, really the first 2 months of the season for Pajemski, were darn near disastrous. Like, that, not getting away from that. It was really, really rough. But the way that the conversation shifted around Pajemski went from not only is he not just that he's having a slump and it's a rough beginning to his sophomore year after he was a non-lottery pick that was on the first team all-rookie team, it went to, again, not just that he's in a slump and he's got to figure it out and maybe he needs to take a little bit of time on the bench to figure it out. It wasn't that. It was he needs to be out of here entirely. He's not a positive basketball player. Ship him off for a bag of chips. I heard so much of that about Brandon Pajemski early this year. That was always foolish. Of course, he was struggling. No one is denying that. But what he did last year should give you the confidence that at the very least he's going to be a positive player for the length of his NBA career, if you look at it in the long run. I also think about Brandon Pajemski specifically. What happened with him was once D'Anthony Melton went down, he was asked to fill a role that he's just simply, at least at this stage of his career, not ready to fill. He was asked to be the backup point guard and to be the primary ball handler and the distributor and the offense initiator while Steph was on the court. And if there is one job on the Warriors, maybe more difficult than any except for being Steph himself, it is being the leader of the offense when Steph is off the floor. That's what makes Jimmy Butler so special, because Butler can do it. Butler's great. Butler's a Hall of Fame player. Like, that's one thing to ask someone of that stature to do it. It's one thing to ask someone of Kevin Durant's stature to do it back in the day. The Warriors were asking Brandon Pajemski to do it. And while there's something honorable in the confidence that you showed in asking him to do that, it was bound to fail. He's a second-year player drafted in the teens out of Santa Clara not even 2 years ago. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. So I think the Warriors, based on the way their roster was constructed, they were setting Pajemski up to fail. But now what Pajemski can do, he can play off of Steph, and even when Steph is off the floor and Pajemski is on, he will always be sharing the floor with either Steph or with Jimmy Butler. And that allows Brandon Pajemski to do all of the things that make him valuable, right? All of the things that made him the Warriors' leader in plus-minus a year ago. All of the things that have caused him to lead the team in plus-minus each of the last two games, right? Dominant blowout wins. Pajemski leading the team in plus-minus. Because when he doesn't have to be the guy that initiates the offense and that's setting everybody up and is trying to score 20 points a game because no one else is doing it, it allows him to get on the glass, to do the dirty work, to play off ball, to find the right moments to cut to the hoop, to find the open spaces on the floor, which he's just naturally good at. That's something that not every NBA player has, and Pajemski has all of those intangible things. How many times was he boxing out P.J. Washington down low? And by the way, in the first half, there was that moment where he was all by himself in the paint against Dallas. On the Warriors' defensive end, shot goes up, it misses. It's Pajemski versus P.J. Washington. I would imagine Pajemski's given up like 6 inches there. And Pajemski boxes him out by himself, grabs the rebound, was fouled, no foul was called, and then ultimately gets tied up for a jump ball. Warriors win the jump, and they go on their merry way. But those moments is what makes Pajemski valuable. And that will only go down in the scorebook as one rebound. That is a more valuable play than that. Because if Pajemski isn't willing to sacrifice his body in a moment like that, it's an offensive rebound and a putback for P.J. Washington. That just saves the Warriors 2 points and an extra possession. Like, those are the things that Pajemski does. And one of the things I challenge a lot of Warrior fans to do, when you're watching a game, just make a mental note every time you see, like, a quality Pajemski play that just looking at a box score doesn't do justice, right? There was a moment where he had a steal. It led to his own transition three. Like, that's a huge momentum-shifting play. He ran the floor, got a fast break layup. He's always willing to run the floor. I mentioned he boxing out P.J. Washington for a rebound. He had a moment where he got a defensive rebound, pushed the ball in transition, a beautiful bounce pass to thread the needle between a couple of Mavericks, found Moses Moody for a fast break lay-in. Another defensive rebound, pushed the ball again, then slowed down his patented slow-down move, then hits the Euro step and finishes with a nice layup. And then again in transition to ice the game, early in the fourth quarter, off a Jimmy Butler defensive rebound, who then pushed the tempo. It was Pajemski sprinting the floor, getting to the right corner. Butler draws the crowd, kicks it to Pajemski. Pajemski, bang, knocks down the open three. Like, there are so many plays here and there that Pajemski makes just on his hustle and his grittiness alone. And it's why the conversation around Pajemski early in the year was so unfair to him. And I put this out on Twitter. There's a lot of people out there who owe Pajemski an apology. Not because he's this amazing player and I think he's a future all-star, but if you have him in the right situation and the right environment, he will be a hugely impactful player in a positive way. And that's what he was today in this basketball game. 888-957-9570 is the number to call and to text. And you can also join the conversation on our YouTube page, youtube.com/957thegame. I think checking in here on the text line, the 848 saying Pajemski is filling the role we've been missing since DiVincenzo left. Similar. DiVincenzo, similar like in stature to Pajemski. He's more of an outside shooter. And that's most of what he does offensively. But DiVincenzo is not a guy who's afraid to do the dirty work, get his hands dirty, box out a bigger dude, play some gritty defense. And, oh, by the way, I'm already forgetting to mention about Pajemski. He was the Warriors' primary defender on Kyrie Irving in this basketball game. 7-for-18 from the field was Kyrie. Remember the last time the Warriors played Kyrie? He put up 42 points. In fact, Kyrie's been on a hell of a heater of late. Let me read these numbers to you as we keep it rolling on Warriors wrap up on 95.7 the game. Where did those numbers go? Let me find them. Here they are. Kyrie's last three games. Dallas, this is before today. Dallas 2-1 in those three games. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals in a 1-point loss to the Kings. Against the Warriors last week, 42 points and 7 rebounds. 15-for-25 from the field. 7-for-10 from downtown. The Mavericks beat the Warriors in that game. And then on Friday, the first game after the All-Star break, Kyrie had 35 points, 4 assists, 11-for-22 from the field in a win over the Pelicans. Kyrie's been on a hell of a heater of late, and Pajemski was the primary defender on him, and this is the big reason why he forced him into a 7-for-18 shooting night, 17 points, only 1-for-6 from downtown. Pajemski was awesome. Awesome in this basketball game. He had a career high in rebounds with 13 to go with his 17 points. And again, a team best plus 30 in the plus minus for the Warriors in this one. 888-957-9570. Mark Randy with you. Let's head out to the phone lines here on Warriors wrap up. Brian in Missouri. Brian is up next here on Warriors wrap up. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, super good after tonight's win. Excited for this. It feels like 2022 all over again. I love Draymond's confidence, and I think we can get up to the fifth seed and take on the Lakers in the first round, no problem. And if we don't, if we're in the sixth seed, I would love to see a rematch of that 2022 first round against the Nuggets. I think that'd be awesome to see that again.
Interesting. Appreciate the call. I think the Warriors getting up to the six is well within reach. And again, thank you, Brian. I think it's too early to be playing the potential matchup game, although it is always fun. I would be surprised, honestly, if Denver is not the two seed when all is said and done. Right now, they're a half game behind Memphis, and Memphis, I believe, is in action right now. Denver just snapped their nine-game winning streak. They lost their most recent basketball game, but they had been the hottest team in basketball. I would not be shocked if they move up to the two when all is said and done. No one's catching Oklahoma City. They will be the one. If I were to guess, Denver probably the two, and then you've got Memphis probably the three, and the Lakers probably the four. I think I have more faith in the Lakers moving forward than the Rockets, who are currently deadlocked essentially right now, although the Rockets have played two more games. They just have one more win and one more loss. So the Warriors, or pardon me, the Lakers percentage points ahead of the Rockets. But I would guess it probably goes OKC, Denver, followed by Memphis and the Lakers, then the Rockets, and then you hope that the Warriors sneak in there as the sixth seed. In terms of potential first-round matchups, and we're getting entirely too far ahead of ourselves, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to have a little bit of fun here on Warriors wrap-up. Memphis might be the Warriors' best matchup, although Memphis, when they've been fully healthy and ready to go, they have given the Warriors some fits. I mean, there was the game in Memphis early this year. It was Dennis Schroeder's debut game, if you recall, and Memphis won that game by like 40. That was a dominating performance. The Warriors have beaten Memphis a couple of times, but both times they have beat them this year, it's been when Memphis has been dealing with a number of injuries, including to Ja Morant. So that I don't think that's the matchup that maybe the results this season show it might be, but Denver is also an extremely difficult one. I think the Lakers are a better matchup now for the Warriors without Anthony Davis, but asking to face LeBron and Luka Doncic in the playoffs feels like a mistake. Honestly, if the Warriors have their hope, it would be that Houston figures it out and Houston gets up to the three and the Warriors sneak up to the six. You need Houston to start playing better basketball. If not, you're going to have a tough matchup in the first round. But that's the reality of you potentially being the sixth seed. Even if the Warriors close this season great, all their mistakes early in the year come back to bite them because they struggled so much. And as a result, you would be looking at the sixth seed versus potentially a four seed or a three seed if you were able to handle your business early in the year. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but you look at the Warriors' schedule as well, and there is plenty of reason to believe that they can string together something positive here. Up next, you've got Charlotte on Tuesday. That's a team that you should absolutely win against. You're also honoring the 2015 championship team. It's 10 years since that team was in action. Of course, the championship was won in June, so we're approaching the official 10-year anniversary, the one-decade anniversary of when that championship was won. But 10 years since that team was on the floor, and Mo Spates in town, Brandon Rush in town, Sean Livingston was here today. Of course, Festus Ezeli, who does great work with NBC Sports Bay Area on the TV side, he was there at Oracle or at Chase today to help honor Andre Iguodala, and they will all be in attendance again on Tuesday as the Warriors honor that 2015 championship team, but that should be a win over Charlotte. You got Orlando on the road to begin a road trip on Thursday. Orlando's a quality team, but they're nothing absolutely terrifying. They got a lot of size, which should be a little interesting for the Warriors, considering they have found out, as they always find out, their best group features Draymond at the five, and when they go small, they are very hard to beat. That's game two, or that's their second game next, second most recent game coming up, but it's the first game of the road trip. Then they're in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is discussing maybe surgery for Joel Embiid. They're probably going to call it quits on this season any time now. Maybe by the time the Warriors play, there's no Joel Embiid playing still. You have Charlotte then after that, so you play Charlotte twice in a span of 6 days. You got them on the road. You've got the Knicks on the road, a challenging one. You got the Nets on the road. You should be able to find that one, get that one taken care of. Then Detroit at home, Portland at home, Sacramento at home. We're talking about over the next 9 games. The most challenging one by far is the Knicks on the road. And then it's maybe Orlando on the road and Detroit at home, depending on how you feel about Philadelphia. regardless, that should be a 9-game stretch. And coming off of what is currently a 5-1 stretch, where you feel like you can win in those 9 games, at least 6 games, you go 6-3 in those 9, you add it on to a 5-1 stretch, you'll feel pretty good about yourself. But this is also a spot where the Warriors can get fat, and you might be able to look at turning that 9-game stretch into maybe a 7-2 stretch. You add that to this 5-1 stretch, and you're talking about, what, a 12-3 stretch of basketball over the course of 15? Kind of funny, because that's how they began this season. Like, there is an opportunity for this Warrior team to really take advantage of the schedule right now. And it is going to get challenging again during stretches the rest of the regular season, right? You have New York on the road. You have New York quickly at home again, right? That was the next game after this upcoming 9-game stretch. After the Knicks at home, you have Denver. You have Milwaukee. Quickly after that, you've got Memphis on the road, the Lakers on the road, Denver, Houston, Phoenix. That's a difficult stretch to begin in the month of April. But really, until then, you have games that you feel like should be pretty darn winnable with a couple of challenges sprinkled in there throughout. This is the opportunity for the Warriors to try to get 12 of 15 and really see themselves jolt up in the Western Conference standings, because if you don't do it now, the challenge is only going to get so much harder because, one, you have less time left, and two, the schedule does turn really on April 1st when the Warriors go to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies, then in L.A. versus the Lakers, then at home versus Denver, home versus Houston, in Phoenix, right? Those are all challenging basketball teams for sure. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. It's also our text line, and our YouTube chat is popping as always. YouTube.com/957TheGame. Let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr addressed the media postgame today, but before he went back out onto the court to help honor Andre Iguodala as his jersey got retired today after the game inside of Chase Center. Here is Warriors head coach Steve Kerr after his team's 126-102 win over the Dallas Mavericks. Here's Coach Kerr.
We always talk about the non-Steph minutes, and you mentioned before the game you're winning them and you won them again. What's the big picture? What does that do to the team overall when you can win and know you can win those minutes?
It just feels the game feels easier right now for us. Every play is not as crucial when there's a consistency of the game. You can make a mistake and keep playing and not feel like, oh my God, we gotta flip things right now. So I just think the consistency of what we're seeing defensively is setting the tone. Points off turnovers again tonight was a big disparity in the game. And that group, with Draymond, Jimmy, BP, when Steph's off the floor, their defensive rating is just off the charts. And so we're setting a great tone. And then Jimmy just, the game makes sense when he's out there. He gets to the line. He makes simple plays. He keeps the game in under control for us. And so you can feel the difference for sure.
Steve, Brandon and Moses were playing well before the trade, but they've seemed to play even better since it. What about playing in that group with Jimmy and obviously Draymond and Steph also? But what about playing alongside Jimmy has helped them?
I think the way Jimmy passes the ball, the way the possessions settle down, we're just getting better looks. And so Moses' shots are all open. BP's getting wide open threes. The way Jimmy just handles each possession, I think he said, I read a quote from him yesterday, we just want to get a shot on goal every time. And that's exactly right. There's no reason to be in a rush in this game. And Jimmy's never in a rush. And as a result, the ball starts to move, we break the defense down, and then somebody's getting a good look. So the game becomes much easier for the guys around him.
I got a quick follow. He and Brandon seem to have a connection, right? Mm-hmm. I think you even referenced it. Why? What about their game?
Just IQ, just feel for the game. Passing, cutting, rebounding. Brandon had 13 rebounds today. And Jimmy gets every loose ball. So those things add up. When you get three or four more loose balls, long rebounds per game, now all of a sudden the game opens up. Somebody hits a three, you get a little momentum, and it feeds on itself. And both guys just make winning plays. And when they're out there together, they complement each other really well.
Hey, Steve, over here. Jimmy gets to the free throw line and gets a standing ovation, and it seems like there were other moments where it was pretty rocking inside the arena. Did the energy feel any different tonight? And just like, what do you kind of think of
that? Yeah, you can tell our fans, you know, see the difference. They feel the momentum just like we do. So it was an important shift. You know, the trade itself, I think I mentioned this after the Sacramento game. We needed it. You know, we felt it. We were kind of treading water. We couldn't get any traction in the season. And Mike sensed it and made the move. And you can feel the shift. Sometimes you got to shake things up. And we shook things up. And it just so happened that, you know, one of the best players in the league was available. And that doesn't happen very often. But, you know, it was a move that made sense. And so far, it's showing why.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is showing that it's working. And it did make a lot of sense. I don't think most of us could have felt that it made this much sense, or at least it was that it was going to immediately make this much sense. But it has completely transformed the way that this Warrior team feels. And everywhere I go, it's what I hear, whether it is from listeners who come up here at Splash and say what's up. And I'm currently live at Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center on the west side of the arena. Thrive City's newest eatery, restaurant, sports bar. It's got gigantic television screens for you to watch any sporting event that your mind can dream of. They've got a ticker running below the screens that brings you all the other scores from around the world of sports. They've got other smaller TVs everywhere around this place. It is an awesome spot to watch and take in a great sporting weekend like this weekend has been. But whether it is people coming up to me here at Splash, or it's people chiming in on social media, or it's callers throughout the day, or it's you on our YouTube chat, you on our text lines right now, there's a renewed optimism inside of this Warrior fan base right now. And it's something that Steve Kerr was asked there at the very tail end. Standing ovation in the first quarter, and the cheers for Jimmy Butler as he goes to the free throw line. And it almost feels like it's not sarcastic, but like when Warrior fans are doing it, it's like they're almost laughing, cheering for fouls and the Warriors going to the free throw line. I know generally every time like something good happens for your team, you cheer. But like there's almost like the sarcastic giggle around Chase Center when Jimmy Butler draws a foul and the Warriors go to the free throw line. It's not that he's like this kind of player who tricks refs and is playing. You kind of think of it as like ugly basketball, right? You think of it James Harden at the peak of his powers, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now. They're so good at getting officials to call fouls, even when maybe there's not much of a foul there. Like, we can call it like it is. That's what those players are so good at doing. The Warriors don't really have a player like that. They never really have. Jimmy Butler is the closest thing they've ever... I guess they had Chris Paul for 1 year, but it wasn't long enough, and he never made a big enough impact for it to be felt consistently. But Jimmy Butler is the closest thing the Warriors have had to that. And when the Warriors go to the free throw line as a result of that kind of basketball, there's almost like this cathartic and, chuckle that Warriors fans let out when they're applauding that. Because it's something that's so new to this team. And honestly, I mean, it's a gigantic part of basketball today. I felt this way for a while. The way the Warriors play, the beautiful way they move the ball, and they don't try to foul bait, and they don't try to trick refs, and so much of it gets translated into Steph Curry, you know, gets a terrible whistle. I think a big part of it is because drawing fouls and convincing officials that you were fouled is an art form, and it's a skill, and you have to learn how to do it. And honestly, doing it like takes a toll on your body. Like, you have to be willing to, you know, get hit and stop when there's a defender running right at you from behind and have them run into you and knock you down. You have to, you know, obviously act a little bit, and instead of just being knocked off balance and regaining yourself, like being willing to fall all the way down to the ground, like it's not the easiest thing physically to do. I don't think the Warriors have ever really leaned into it. And honestly, for the most part, I credit them, because that kind of basketball at times can be pretty darn ugly. It was the Warriors-Grizzlies game at home. I believe it was in December. Might have been right before New Year's. I forget exactly when it was, but it was in December before the New Year. And the second half, specifically the fourth quarter, must have taken, the fourth quarter by itself must have taken an hour. And it was a nightmare of a basketball game because there's so many whistles and so many fouls and so many free throws. It is an ugly way to play and to watch basketball. And it's kind of what has infected today's NBA. Again, I give the Warriors credit for never really leaning into it, because the way that they play is so much more beautiful and easy to watch and fun, and it just makes for a better product. But at the same time, by not leaning into it, you are missing out on such a big opportunity, because there are teams out there, specifically players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, still like James Harden, who will steal 8 points a game just because they trick an official into thinking that they were fouled, and they get to the free throw line, and they're great free throw shooters. The Warriors haven't really ever had that. Jimmy Butler finally gives them a way to do it. And so I think that's where so much of the Steph terrible whistle conversation comes from, because so many of the other stars in today's game actively try to trick officials. I don't think Steph does it nearly as often as they do, for whatever reason. And again, I find it, I mean, I respect the hell out of the Warriors for it, but I think it is the reality of what the Warriors have chosen to do of late. And it has changed with Jimmy Butler now in town for the Golden State Warriors. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. Let's go out to Mark, who's in Petaluma. What's up, Mark? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Fine. I wanted to agree with you about how loud the Warriors fans were. I was listening here in Sonoma County, and they were really loud. And I thought pretty much throughout most of the game when it was competitive, it was great to hear. That kind of excitement, I think, is going to be really great for the Warrior organization going forward. And I also wanted to comment on Andre Iguodala. I remember listening to the Warriors right after he got him and his journey with the team. And, yeah, the guy was, I think it was actually mentioned that he was kind of like a basketball savant or something. You know, he was just so intelligent. And whenever he would go on the court, you know, good things would happen. And there would be some points in the game when the Warriors were flagging, and it was like, get Andre in there! And they would, and good things would happen. I also want to comment for fans, too, that he has written a book. And I got a chance to see it. I didn't get a chance to read it. It wasn't the right place at the right time. So if anyone wants to partake of Andre and his wisdom and his intelligence, that might be a good thing for them to read.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mark, and shout out to Sonoma County. Shout out to the 707. Say it backwards. My home area, my home county up there. Always appreciate hearing from you, Mark. Yeah, Andre Iguodala wrote a book, a memoir. It's called The Sixth Man, a memoir. Andre Iguodala tells his story, his life story as a basketball player, beginning outside of, I think, in Springfield, Illinois, where he's from. Kind of the rough start to his life and how basketball and people help save him. And ultimately went to Arizona, was coached by Lute Olson. If you were listening to the Andre Iguodala jersey retirement ceremony, Steve Kerr mentioned his connection to Iguodala because they were both coached by the same college coach at Arizona, the legendary Lute Olson. But yeah, I mean, Andre Iguodala, basketball savant, a basketball genius, always making the right play, always saying the right things, always calming everybody down, teaching, essentially a coach out there on the floor, and towards the end of his career, less on the floor, but just essentially a coach who was on the player's payroll. But Andre Iguodala, a hell of a warrior and certainly deserving of his number 9 being up in the rafters. And that book that Mark is talking about, The Sixth Man, a memoir by Andre Iguodala, worth the read. I would recommend giving it a look if you haven't yet. I own it. I've read it a couple of times. I very much, very much enjoy that book, The Sixth Man, a memoir by Andre Iguodala. A couple minutes left here on Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. I did want to run through a couple of things that Steve Kerr mentioned in his postgame presser. I think the one thing that stands out to me more than anything else, and this is, again, as it relates to Jimmy Butler, it kind of feels like everything Warriors related to right now comes back to Jimmy Butler. That's how big of an impact that he's having. The non-Steph minutes, for the moment, have been solved. It's been a strategy or a question, a point of contention, like a key aspect of basketball games for the Warriors, like for a decade now. How do they survive the non-Steph minutes? If they could just be like not terrible when Steph is off the floor, they'll be fine because they're so darn good with him on the floor. So how do they find a way to just be average with him off the floor? That has always been the Warriors' challenge. It's a very small sample size, and I'm talking specifically the last two games. It has not been a problem for the Warriors the last two games. In fact, they have been amazing with Steph Curry off the court the last two games. How about these numbers? Steph Curry today, his plus-minus was plus 14. The Warriors win by 24. That means when Steph is off the floor, the Warriors outscored the Mavericks by 10. So plus 14 with Steph on the floor, plus 10 with Steph on the bench. How about Friday in Sacramento? Steph Curry, when he was on the floor, the Warriors and Kings were even. In a game in which the Warriors won by 24, they were even when Steph was on the floor. Okay? That means when he was off the floor, the Warriors outscored the Kings by 24 points. So over the course of the last two games, the Warriors with Steph on the floor, a plus 14. The Warriors with Steph on the bench, a plus 34. That is ridiculous for the Warriors. And that has very rarely ever been the case that the Warriors are better with Steph off the floor than they are with him on the floor. And this is not a knock on Steph. Of course, this is not that. This is just an observation that the Warriors are no longer having to be so incredibly elite with Steph on the court, because they can at the very least be pretty darn good with him off the floor, and that's what Jimmy Butler helps unlock. Jimmy Butler is the missing piece in this Warriors roster that makes so much of everything else make sense. The Warriors in the last two games with Steph on the bench, a plus 34. Now it's going to be really interesting as the Warriors continue to obviously play basketball games. It's Jonathan Kuminga's return is coming up shortly. Jonathan Kuminga, I would be very surprised if he does not play at some point on the Warriors' upcoming five-game road trip. Warriors in Orlando coming up on Thursday, I believe, because they have Tuesday at home against Charlotte. Yes, Thursday in Orlando, Saturday in Philadelphia, Monday in Charlotte, Tuesday and Thursday in New York and in Brooklyn. Jonathan Kuminga will play at some point on that five-game road trip unless there's some sort of setback. And it might be as early as Thursday. Steve Kerr said pregame today that he will be reevaluated, Kuminga will, before the Warriors tip off in Orlando. So we'll likely get an update from the Warriors on Kuminga at some point prior to that game on Thursday. It's a 4 o'clock tip, which means coverage in Orlando begins at 3 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We got another game before that, Charlotte on Tuesday at 7, normal tip time for a home game. But the Warriors very likely will be getting Jonathan Kuminga back sooner rather than later. Maybe he misses one more game, maybe he misses two more games after this game here today. But they're going to get him back. And how does that impact the way that this Warrior team looks and feels? You would think he's only going to, of course, be positive for the Warriors. I mean, the way he was playing before he got hurt, he was the Warriors' second-best player. And oftentimes, he was the Warriors' best player in those games. He was amazing right before he got hurt. But the role will have changed a little bit because he needed to have the ball in his hands at that stretch because the Warriors did not have a Jimmy Butler. They didn't have a guy who you can just give the ball to and be so confident you're going to get a good look at him. So how does Jonathan Kuminga fit in aside from Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry? I think it'll go pretty darn well, but it's not as if Kuminga is going to be needing to score 25 points every single game now in order for the Warriors to win. So when Kuminga comes back, I'm sure there will be an adjustment period. If the Warriors can get through that adjustment period and work Kuminga into a solid rotation, a consistent rotation, and get to a point where he knows what is being asked of him every single night, the Warriors might have another level that they can reach. And oh, by the way, this is only still 6 games with Jimmy Butler. Like, wait until he gets fully integrated, knows everything that's going on, and oh, wait till he starts smelling the postseason, and then he'll turn it up a gear as well, because we all know playoff Jimmy is a real thing, and it is different. One final thing to touch on before we get on out of here, I guess first I should do, as always, our Crashing the Board segment, which is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. This is an easy one, and shout out, as always, to Chilton Auto Body. Who was crashing the boards today? That's Brandon Pajemski. I spent a lot of time singing his praises earlier. I'll do it a little bit more right here. 13 boards for Pajemski, a career high. Pair that with 17 points, his third consecutive game scoring in double figures. He was a game-best plus 30 in the plus-minus. That means in his 30 minutes of game action, he played 29 minutes and 44 seconds. In those 29 minutes and 44 seconds, the Warriors outscored the Heat by 30. How is it always that Brandon Pajemski is the Warriors' leader in plus-minus? Because he does so much more than meets the eye. And today, the category to circle, rebounds. 13 boards, a career high for Pajemski. He gets the honor of crashing the boards. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. All right. Final thing before we get on ad here, I wanted to run through some of the things that the dignitary said about Andre Iguodala earlier today as the Warriors retired his jersey and sent it up into the rafters at Chase Center. The number 9 will forever live up there alongside other Warrior legends. And by the way, there's a lot of them. I guess not that many, but they are big names. Andre Iguodala's jersey will be just the 7th jersey retired in Warriors franchise history. Iguodala's number 9 joins Warriors legends Alvin Adles, his number 16, Rick Barry's number 24, Wilt Chamberlain's number 13, Thomas Sherry's number 14, Chris Mullin's number 17, and Nate Thurmond's number 42. That is a hell of a group to be up there with, and he's going to have some company, hopefully not too soon, but in the not-too-distant future, whenever Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and, hell, honestly, probably Kevon Looney too, whenever those dudes all decide to hang it up, he's going to have some company up there. And that Warriors area, that area of Chase Center is going to get a little more crowded because it isn't the most bustling part of Chase Center right now, but it's going to get a whole hell of a lot crowded when this era officially comes to an end. But we are nowhere near saying goodbye to that because the Warriors, they have captured our imagination again, and they're 3 games over 500 for the first time since mid-November. Pardon me, they've won 3 games in a row for the first time since mid-November. They're 3 games over 500 for the first time since mid-December. This is a Warrior team that is finally playing good, consistent basketball on a night-in and night-out basis. But a couple of things worth mentioning about the Iguodala jersey retirement. Bob Myers spoke, of course, former Warriors GM and president of basketball operations. He said when they initially went to negotiate with Andre Iguodala to bring him into Golden State, he was a little disappointed because the Warriors at that point were chasing Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard turned them down, so the Warriors went for Iguodala instead. Bob Myers also joked about Kerr benching Iguodala to begin the 2014-2015 season, and Bob said that he approached Joe Lacob, and who knows if he's telling the truth or not, but he said he approached Joe Lacob after Steve Kerr said that in the moment and essentially said, "I'm not sure we hired the right guy," because that was Steve Kerr's first year as head coach. Steve Kerr, he added to that story saying that he was nervous and scared when he approached Iguodala with the idea of him coming off of the bench and the Warriors starting Draymond Green instead in the starting lineup to begin that 2014-2015 season. But as he would be time and time and time again during Iguodala's career as a Warrior, he was very happily surprised by just how professional Andre Iguodala was and how he was always willing to do something for the betterment of the team. A couple of great Stephen Curry quotes, I think, that really describe Andre Iguodala and his role as a Warrior. Steph Curry said, quote, "He changed the course of our entire franchise," and there was absolutely no doubt. You can mention David Lee. David Lee was the first relatively big name that chose to be a Golden State Warrior, and that led to the Warriors' first playoff berth since the We Believe team in the 2013 postseason when they upset Iguodala and the Nuggets in the 6-3 matchup that year in the playoffs, and then they lost in heartbreaking fashion to the Spurs in the second round. The Spurs went on to go to the NBA Finals that year. But in terms of like a legitimate all-star and a legitimate like great player in the league, nothing against David Lee, an awesome player and a great Warrior. Andre Iguodala was the first to choose to come here, and for that he, as Steph Curry said, quote, "changed the course of our entire franchise." Another from Steph, quote, again, this is Steph on Andre Iguodala, quote, "he embraced a role that most stars wouldn't, and there is no doubt." How many times have we seen it? We've talked about it this year on Warriors Wrap-Up. Being asked to come off the bench, just coming off the bench in general, not everybody can do it. And not everybody specifically of Andre Iguodala's stature would be willing to do it. Iguodala was, and that's why he's beloved here. To add on to that, Steph Curry also said, quote, "he sacrificed ego for excellence the Warriors way." And I think that's a good way to wrap this thing up, because indeed, Andre Iguodala sacrificed ego for excellence. That is the Warriors' way, and that's a big reason why the Warriors have been so successful and why they hope they can get back to that mountaintop this year. All right, hell of a win for the Warriors. Again, the final score, 126-102 over Dallas. The Warriors, 3 games over .500 at 30-27. They got one more home game before they head out on the road. They are in... they have Charlotte coming to town coming up next, and then they go out on the road against Orlando, Philadelphia, Charlotte, the Knicks, and the Nets. But it is Charlotte in town on Tuesday, February 25th. Tip-off is at 7, which means pregame coverage begins at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Wrap-Up today. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Cam Williams, behind the glass, back in our downtown San Francisco studios, for all of you for tuning in, appreciate everyone tuning in and for chiming in on the calls, on the text, on the YouTube chat, as always. Also, thanks to everybody here at Splash at Thrive City for hosting me in this beautiful new restaurant and sports bar in Thrive City on the west side of Chase Center. If you haven't stopped by yet, this is a great spot to grab something to eat, something to drink, and watch your favorite sporting events. There's countless TVs, including gigantic ones right in front of me right now. You can watch all of the action right here at Splash at Thrive City, right outside of Chase Center. This is a great spot, and it's brand new. Get in before it gets too packed. And it is popping right now still here on this Sunday evening. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks so much for tuning in live from Splash at Thrive City. My name is Mark Ranney, signing off. The Dubs win. That's now 3 wins in a row, and they're 3 games over .500 at 30-27 with their eyes set on the 6th seed, just a game and a half behind that. Thanks for listening. We'll talk next time right here on 95.7 The Game.